Hey there. Welcome to the program today. I'm really glad that you're here. I want you to just get comfortable and hang out with me for a little while as we talk about something that I really do think it's important that we have a conversation about around here. You know, the topic that we're going to address tonight, most of the time we just hear arguments about it and antagonism toward it, and we're just all trying to find our way, and you might have someone in your life personally that is dealing with this issue. So I think it's important for us to get as much information as we can so we can be as sensitive as we can. I'll tell you all the details about it in just a second. Stay tuned. And Priscilla, welcome. I hope that you have already seen part one of the program that we are in today. This is part two of a conversation we're having with a woman who I just like her. I like her. Her name is Jackie Hill Perry, and she has been so authentic with us and so vulnerable and open, and in doing so, I know that she's helping a lot of people. She sure is helping me, so I wonder if you guys would help me to welcome her back to the program again today. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I'm glad that you're here. We were talking about your inclination toward an attraction for women,
right,
and gender confusion.
Right.
And this started not when you were, you know, 20.
Mm-mm.
You can remember being a kiddo, four and 5 years old, and having these feelings.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the gender confusion just a little bit.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where you, and you may have been too young to get to this point before the Lord kind of met you and changed the trajectory of your life, but did you ever think, I might want to actually undergo whatever is necessary to live as a man?
No. And I think I was young, but also that type of thing wasn't popular. You know, like, I didn't see that on TV or on, like we do now. Because I was four in, like, 95. And so it was like,
oh, 95. It was so far, so long ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah,
you just made me feel like an old woman.
You're not though.
Okay,
it's
all
right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't. I think that comes with the knowledge of that being actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, do you think that just the knowledge of it is what separates those who might walk down that path from those who just choose to be a stud?
Possibly. And then that's not popular in the black community, the black gay community. You don't see a lot of that. It's just I'm a stud or trans, but not trans in the sense of I've had sex changes. You just kind of put on the clothes and the demeanor and that's it. I think it's a lot more predominant in the Caucasian community. And I could be wrong, but that's what it seems like.
That's what it appears to be.
Yeah.
So you, 17, 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
You have a girlfriend.
Yep.
A few.
Yeah.
Your mom finds out.
Uh-huh.
You just were set up that day car.
Yeah.
So your mom finds out, and how did your relationship dynamics change after that?
It changed a lot. And it wasn't just the homosexuality thing. It was like I was doing that, and I was just super rebellious. And
So it wasn't just that. It was a whole teenage thing happening.
Yeah, it was just, I was just rude. I was just ignorant. I just got high all the time, was getting arrested. And so it's like, I can tell my mom was like, who is this person? I really don't know who this person is. And so we just didn't like each other. Honestly, it's just, we would walk in the house and not speak to each other. And then it got weird because now all of my friends that may not even be my girlfriends are suspect. It's like, yeah, y'all can't go in the room. They can't be there when I'm not there. Like, if y'all on the couch, y'all need to sit on that couch and that couch. It was like, but I know her since third grade. It's cool. It was like, I don't know that though.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
Yeah. And is it still weird?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of things that have changed in your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So people think that just the, if we encourage people, if you sit on this sofa and encourage someone who's struggling with this to know that it can change, that they can desire the opposite sex, the Lord can literally change their desires.
Yeah.
By suggesting that, you're also implying that who they feel like they just naturally are is just wrong. It is sin. It deserves, it sounds so harsh because this is, just like you said, it wasn't like you just woke up one day at 20 and decided, you know what, I'm going to be gay.
Yeah.
You're saying when you were four, this is just the way you were bent.
Yeah.
So for someone who's just, they're watching and they're thinking, I don't even know what it would be like to be attracted to a man.
Yeah.
To suggest to them that their desire can be changed is also implying that this is sin, this is wrong.
Right.
And is that what you feel emphatically, that it's just wrong? It's not just your lifestyle or the way you feel.
Yeah.
It's just straight up wrong?
It is. And that's hard when it seems so natural. But I always like to use this example of children. It's like when you see a 2, 3, 4-year-old, they are just some bad people. You know, like they're rude sometimes and they're sweet and they're
selfish.
Greedy and they're selfish.
You don't have to train them how to lie. They just lie.
And that's who they are,
right.
We could say,
right?
But it's like as parents and as adults, we're called to train them and to discipline. Though this is how you feel right now, that is not how you behave. And I think when we look at God the Father, it's like, though that's how you feel, that is not how you behave. This is another way. There is another way if you just trust me. And so just because it may feel natural doesn't mean that it's honorable. And I think that's what needs to be understood is just this whole original sin thing. Until we can get that, then we don't understand why we do the things we do, nor can we understand that regeneration and salvation needs to happen for you to change.
Do you think that you can minimize this this innate feeling, mm-hmm. This innate need that every human being has to be in relationship with another human being?
Right.
Do you think, in a sense, where you're minimizing it when you compare it to telling a lie or being selfish or something that is, yeah, it's a dangerous way to live your life, but it's not this innate human desire that we all have to live with another person? Because mm-hmm. for some person, you might be saying, okay, hey, listen, this is wrong. Homosexuality
yeah.
is wrong.
Yeah.
So if you choose not to live a homosexual lifestyle, you are also choosing possibly mm-hmm. to remain single for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're making that choice. That is a hard.
Yeah. It is. And I know that everyone's story will not be mine. I think I was called to marriage. And so God just empowered me to love my husband and to love Preston. But I know plenty of believers that have come out of the homosexual lifestyle that are called to a life of celibacy and are gifted with the gift of singleness. And they are content in that. But I think we don't preach about singleness enough where we see like the end all be all is not marriage.
You got that
it's,
right.
It's not relationship.
Right.
I think the fact that we won't have a marriage in heaven is a big thing, but we will see and know God. And so I think though it may be hard to think about, man, you're telling me I can't love someone intimately
have
for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
If that is the cross that you have to bear, you have to reckon with, is God worth it?
Mm-hmm.
If he's worth it, then be willing to submit to that. But God is also faithful. He'll empower you to do things that are hard. He really yeah. will.
He'll empower you to do things that you deem impossible.
Exactly.
Not just hard, but impossible.
Exactly.
Which would have been your case.
Yeah.
Because you could have, when you were 18, 19, could you have ever thought that you would ever be not only just in a relationship with a man, but married to a man?
I wanted to be, but I didn't think I would like it. I wanted to be married theoretically, but I didn't think it would be something I enjoyed.
Because you didn't even like male company much, or was it just because of the sexual attraction?
I didn't
part
like
that
maleness.
Didn't...
So
see, that's kind of weird to me because you're saying that in becoming a stud,
mm-hmm.
you wanted to kind of carry that maleness in your person,
yeah.
but you didn't want you
it's,
didn't like it in
it's
guys.
It's confusing. Utterly.
It is confusing.
It
you
is.
Can't help us to get a little.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
It's because it's like you become what you don't like. I can't even explain it. I should write about it and figure it out myself so I can explain it better.
Figure it out first before you write about
okay.
it. Okay.
Okay. I'll write it out processing myself.
Yeah,
but
that's a very interesting thought.
But
though.
Beards, their stomachs were hard, big hands, hairy. I just didn't like it. It was
none
just
of
like
that.
That's gross to me. I like the softness and of women. Now I like it. I still don't like too much hairiness, but Preston is hairy, so we're good.
I love
I just
her honesty, and it's the best. It's the best.
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Lord changed your desires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've just clearly said just a second ago that you are not suggesting that everyone who is honest with about their life and brings it to the foot of the cross, that God is going to necessarily give them the desire for the opposite sex.
Nope.
You're saying that the answer might be that he gives you the gift of celibacy and
yep.
singleness
yep.
and makes you content there.
God will give you a desire for him. And in you living for him, he may will let you be with the opposite sex, or he may call you to just live in community with other believers and just live your life unto his glory. It's possible.
Would you have been willing to do that?
With the help of the Holy Ghost, yes. But just me, nah. Like, I was like, I didn't want to. I wanted children. I wanted to be with someone. And I think most people do. That's why it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. And you have a baby.
Yes, honeymoon baby.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Honeymoon baby, literally. My entire marriage, I was pregnant whole first year.
The whole first year.
Yeah.
So you got pregnant on your honeymoon?
Yep, on a cruise. We were just set up to fail when you're on a cruise. You're in the same room for like 6 days. I mean,
he's your husband. You're supposed to be in the same room.
I know, but it just, and you set up and then you've been saved and you ain't did nothing with nobody. So it's just, it was a beautiful time.
Well, you know, it really is great that you're saying
yeah,
that it was a beautiful time because you thought that it would disgust you.
I did. Yeah. So it was the thing with Preston though, that's my husband, it was not easy. It wasn't, oh my gosh, I like this dude. It really wasn't that.
You're courting? You mean when you met the marriage?
The marriage, the courtship, that was, our courtship and our marriage was difficult. Because it was unearthing all of these issues that I had towards men. And so I just was really mean to him for a long time and distrusting and unwilling to be vulnerable. But he continued to pursue me.
Did he know all of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
How? You don't seem like you hold much back.
I don't.
Jackie.
Either you're going to take me for what I am or
yeah.
We just.
So it's like first date, you just.
Well, the first time we met because I was doing poetry in L.A. and he was doing poetry. And my poem was called My Life is a Stud, which was my testimony. His poem was about him sleeping with every woman that could breathe. And so the first time we met was us hearing our testimonies. And so that just became the root of our friendship, was just this realness and this honesty and this, that dude is cool and that girl is cool. And yeah.
And so the poem that he heard, did your poem end in a way that showed that you had left that lifestyle?
Yeah.
Okay. So he knew that that's not where you were anymore.
Yeah.
That's where you had been.
Yeah.
And he didn't care.
No. To him, he said that attracted him so much because he loves authentic people. And he was like, this girl has the audacity to be on this stage talking about all this. I want to meet her. I want to know her. And then when he introduced himself to me, I corrected him on his poem. And he was like, people don't usually come at me like that when they first meet me. So that just was like, I like her.
Yeah.
She's not fake. So.
And when you found out that he was interested in you romantically, what was your first kind of physical response to that? Were you kind of like,
no. Our story is, because we were friends for 3 years.
Okay.
Just plain old friends. But when 2 weeks prior to him admitting how he felt, I had liked him for a year. An entire year, I just started to have these affections and attractions for him. And I was just like, Lord, am I just bored? Am I thirsty? Do I just want somebody to text? I don't.
So you were confused. It was shocking you that you were feeling this way?
Yeah. I just thought, I don't, like, am I not guarding my heart?
Is this the first time?
Mm-mm. I had liked other guys, but I didn't like them like I liked Preston. Because when I started to like Preston, I started to like him because he was reversing everything I had believed about men. He was the complete opposite. He was honest. He was caring. He was consistent. He loved Jesus. He paid attention to detail. I was like, I didn't think men were like that.
Mm.
I thought only women were like that. And so that kind of started it. And then, so it came to a point where I was like, you know what, Lord? I never let him know I liked him because I just didn't feel like that was my place to flirt with him or something like that. And so I took it to the Lord. I said, Lord, if it's meant for me and Preston to be together, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let your will be done. But if it's your will for us to just be friends, help me handle my affections rightly. So I treat him like a brother and not a crush. 2 weeks later, he called me like, you know what? I don't even know if you like me, but I just feel like I'm supposed to pursue you. Do you like me? And I was like, yeah, I do. He was like, oh, I didn't even know. And that, he was like, that built so much respect for me, because he was like, all of the women that liked him always let him know. And so it never put him in a position where he could lead and pursue. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good story though. Yeah. It's a good story. We're going to talk more about it because I do want to know, you know, real honestly, how, if marriage is hard just because of the desires that you have had for your whole life up until now.
Yeah.
And what that looks like for someone who's making the choice, the courageous choice that you've made to follow and honor God with your life, but in reality, what that sometimes might look like.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about that. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Hi, I'm Priscilla. And I wanted to take an opportunity to invite you personally to join me for a 7-session Bible study on the armor of God. We'll dive deeply into what it means to be equipped to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. He is very real, and he has been so strategic and targeted in his attacks against us. Why shouldn't we be equally strategic and targeted in standing firm against him? And you and I have an opportunity to suit up, to put on some armor that works, and to go to battle and to see victory declared in our lives and in the lives of those people that we love. This Bible study will be one that will change our lives forever and will help us to walk in victory. So plan to join me, won't you? The Armor of God. Welcome back. Glad you are still joining us. And Jackie's still here. She's still filling us in on all the details that we need to know about her life, but then the broader issue, too, yeah, which is so important for us to deal with. I want to talk about marriage.
Yes.
You've been married now for a year. You have a sweet little baby boy.
Girl.
Baby girl. What is her name?
Eden Grace.
Eden Grace. That's a good name.
Thank
Isn't
you.
That a good name? Eden Grace. Love that so much. And is she bubbly? What's her personality? Is she kind of...
I think she's like me.
Yeah.
She can be real fun and then just real, just like...
Ratchet.
I don't know if that's a word yet.
Oh, okay, not the word
in
yet.
In time,
okay.
But
right.
just...
No, we're not going to say she's going to be
fickle is the word.
Fickle? What do you mean?
Just, I don't want you to hold me this way. I want you to hold me this way. I don't want to lay down that way. I want to lay on my side. It's just like...
So a little picky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way.
Oh, is she sleeping through the night yet?
For 2 days she did. This morning she woke up at 2:30 and 6:30. Yeah.
So you're tired.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
I get to sleep tonight though.
Good. Yeah. Good for you. Tell us about marriage and
yes,
what that looks like for you in terms of dealing with the reality that your desires were your desires. In some way they probably, I mean, they didn't just magically leave.
Right.
It's something you're having to walk out in obedience to the Lord as
right,
he sanctifies you by his spirit, but still.
Yeah.
You're living in your body, you
yeah,
know what I mean? So are there you know, tough days where you're having to make conscious choices, you know, that are antagonistic towards the way you're feeling?
Rarely. And that's because I think as I've been walking with the Lord almost 8 years now, the first few years were very difficult. It was a lot of just constant choosing and fleeing and just turning my head and thinking on things that are good and pure. But I think as I just got discipleship and holistic discipleship, dealing with greed and laziness and stewardship and
so
prayer.
So not just about the homosexuality.
Not just that.
It was about all of it.
All of it.
Okay.
And when I just learned gospel centricity and learning how to just flow into that in all areas of my life, temptations became less burdensome.
That's good. That's a good word.
And also less, what's the word? Discouraging. Because
mm-hmm,
I came to a place where I saw that temptations are a normal part of the Christian experience. Because
right,
I in the black church, well, I won't say black church, but in the church, sometimes deliverance is communicated as the absence of a temptation.
Right.
So it's like, God is going to save you and you just, and it's like, that's not true.
Yeah.
In Christ, I will have temptations and that is completely and absolutely normal. But I don't have to be discouraged by them because God has promised to help me.
That is exactly right.
And so with that, it's like, if I do see a woman that's beautiful, it's like, yes, she's beautiful, but I choose not to look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not fazed by it.
Is it still a conscious choice, though, that you have to make?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's so important that you're communicating that, because I think we feel like in any sort of addiction, any, you know, whether it's drug or alcohol or something, we think there is a moment, this magic moment when something's supposed to happen,
yeah,
and then we'll never be attracted to that again.
Yeah.
And you're saying that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
It is that I know I'm free in Christ, but now I'm having to consciously choose mm-hmm. to walk that way.
Yeah. And it becomes possible when you're just feeding yourself with God, in the sense of like, if I understand and know that God is better, then these things will be, though they're attractive, they will be less attractive. They won't overpower me or control me. It's just like, yeah, let me think of the consequences. Okay, God is better. God is good. That's sin. That's just not great. I don't want to open this door again. I'm a turn. I'm a flee.
Do you think back on your teenage years and worry about your daughter?
Yes. I'm terrified for her.
I mean, that's all of us, though. You know, any of us that have kids.
When I watch CNN, I don't like it, honestly. Because I feel like as a mother, it is going to be my job to convince her that all that she sees is not reality. Mm-hmm. Because it's being promoted as if it is. Transgender, homosexuality, and same-sex marriage. And all of this is promoted, like, this is normal. I have to say, Eden, it's not normal. It's not okay. Though you see it, though they look happy, you choose God. And that's just going to be my job for the rest of my life, I think.
When are you going to do that? Do you feel like the younger the better? In other words, I feel like there are some conversations when my kid was four, and I'm looking at my little teeny four-year-old, and I'm thinking, do I really want to have this conversation with my four-year-old?
Yeah.
Really? Can I wait till they're 12?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit later in life.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's at four and five. When really, it would have been beneficial to you for someone to sit down and have this conversation
yeah.
with you.
Children are smarter than we know. Kids are smart. You know, and like, they.
But how do you know that you're not going to open up a door that's not even open in their mind?
You should
yet?
Write a book about it, because I don't know. You should.
You write the book.
No. She's only 4 months, so I don't know.
Do you think that you're going to talk to her?
I don't know. I'm really going to seek counsel, because I have no, I'm still learning about teething, so I don't.
Potty training is next on your list.
Yeah,
what you're going to do about that.
I don't know. But I did want to add something about the marriage part. I think one of the things that helped me become open with Preston, it wasn't, when I started to love him, it wasn't that I'm loving a man. It was that I was loving Preston. It's hard to explain it, but it was just all that he was, I loved him. And so that involved his maleness.
Say that again. That's really good.
All that he was, I loved and enjoyed, which involved his maleness. So I got past the beard because I love Preston. You know, I got past
the get past some things still? Do you have to kind of look past some of that maleness that still kind of doesn't work for you?
I think how do I say this without being insulting? He leaves stuff out a lot, or doesn't like want to wash dishes. Just little stuff that women, when they come over my house, they just naturally do. Oh, wash them dishes for you, Jackie. You know, like he doesn't, it's petty things like that are just like, he forgets everything, yet he knows all of the sports stats. And so it's just like,
oh, well, we're all in the same boat then.
Yeah.
It's
like, how did you forget that you're supposed to make an appointment, but you know when Michael Jordan got every single ring and where it was and at what time, you know? Stuff like that is a little.
But physically?
Physically, no. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Was it something you had, a hurdle you had to get over initially in
your marriage? When we would hug, I wasn't used to somebody holding my waist because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me feel like feminine. And so that was just really weird that it's like, oh, I have to go above your shoulders. Okay. Like it was,
I had to learn.
Yeah. I had to reteach myself
how to be the feminine partner.
To be okay with being feminine.
Are you still trying to work on being okay with being feminine?
I think I'm myself now, because I don't wear dresses and purses and nails. And I thought I had to be a woman, but that's not true.
What makes you a woman?
That I serve my husband, that I serve my child, that I submit to church leadership, that I am hospitable to guests, that I love Jesus, that I'm discipling other women and trying to teach them how to be homemakers and be okay with that. trying to practice meekness, which is very difficult for me because I'm not meek. everything that Titus 2
Join
says I should be. Praise
Join
God.
The club. Yeah.
Everything that Titus 2 says I should be, me seeking that out and trying to get older women around me to help me grow in that, that's what makes me a woman. So,
okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah. You, in your spare time, when
yes.
you're not teething and potty training and doing those sorts of things, you write poetry.
Yes.
And I want you to share one of those with us.
The whole
if
thing?
If you don't mind. Sure. Come on. You can stand, you can sit, whatever. We want to hear it.
I can't remember the first line, Jesus.
it's okay.
Can I Google it and y'all just edit it out?
Yeah, yeah
I need
we can
to Google
edit
the first sentence.
Yeah, Google the first sentence, we'll edit it out.
Because I don't
We want to hear it.
That's why you gotta love YouTube, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna YouTube yourself so you can hear the first
yeah,
sentence?
Yeah, the first sentence, that's all I need.
Okay.
And then I'm good. Thank you for your patience, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. No worries. Don't worry at all. I hope you can get a connection so you can get it.
I hope so, too. Yeah.
I find it funny.
There we go. I got it.
You got it? Just needed those three words.
I literally just needed that.
Okay.
Do you want me to look somewhere?
Just me, them, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find it funny that women that are children of the Most High continue to fall for lowlifes. Chasing after men that have yet to find their maturity as quick as they can find a helpmeet, please help me understand. I stand on the sidelines watching my sisters who have hearts like pillows with an addiction to relationships and allergic reactions to loneliness turn men into cocaine. Dying to be strung out on love, even if separation from their true rock is a result, his hug could be their rehab. His wisdom would rescue them from relapses, but this winehouse mentality got them so drunk on denial that they could care less that God actually knows what's best, so they push them to the side to let the Moscato flesh make the decisions for them. Women, your impatience with sovereignty has carved your eyesight into an Eden of illusions, seeing a supposed godliness in any and every atom that walks past you, blinded to the worm swimming through his fruit. The lust, praying high to go seeking his praise, a symphony of pride, resting in his swag if his walk ain't like your heavenly dad, then run. A man that's yet to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God cannot lead you to anywhere but himself. Which would be cool if your boo was the source of all comfort, a stronghold of healing, a galaxy of peace with the power to turn dust into us in a split second, but only God has that written on his resume, yet how many of us have fired the same God for a counterfeit savior? Disregarding the cross that was on God's back to fix your eyes on that wooden crucifix hanging from a mere man's neck. So desperate for a ring of metal to melt into your hands that you've forgotten about the nails crawling with wrath that was smashed into his Jesus. Or a crown mangled into thorns but our confused queens have mistaken princes for the King of Jews. He was hung up for you, so hang up on dude, I'm telling you. That if your search for love has stolen your reverence for God, then you have made a modern day Baal out of a relationship. A diamond ring into a golden calf, a god out of a man that has to borrow his breath from someone else. I suggest you steal back your heart for whatever man that has it sitting on the same table he plays cards with. Empty and all, beating with tears, go back to the one who was jealous for you and say, here, you can have it. I apologize for giving something you created away to someone you created believing they would do better with it than you. I'm not standing before you as one who has stood face to face with Satan's razor blades that he grazes with us women. He's working very hard to distract our gaze of faith off the lover of our soul so much that we rather court than get to know the judge. But I'm standing before you as one who is striving to present her loneliness as a gift to the healer of broken hearts, believing that he will make a Lazarus of my pain, a walking miracle of my past. I am suspending all that the world has taught me about relationships to truly believe that everything isn't found in men, but everything is only found in him. I'm letting this pillow of a heart only find comfort in Jesus, believing that he sincerely loves me.